I'm just kind of going to, I don't know if this is necessarily a sermon or anything like that. I've been asking the Lord to kind of give me something for us. And so I've intentionally not listened to a lot of prophetic words, even though I've been sent hundreds. Y'all know that, right? So I didn't want to alter anything I felt like the Lord was saying, not just for me, but for us as a whole, as a body, as a church, and what God was wanting to do in this coming year. And so first of all, I just want to honor you and say thank you for being here. Yeah. New is not always fun. It can be challenging, especially when you're 35. And I can hardly see anybody in here. I want you to know that right now. I feel like I'm preaching to the sun. But I want to thank you, and I want to commend you. I want to commend you for your bravery to step into something that's new. This is truly a journey that, and if you don't know me and my wife, this is actually the fulfillment of a 24, 23-year-old prophetic word over our lives. And we've had prophetic words the whole journey. We've had confirmation of what God is going to do. So we'll answer any questions that you have. And so we're ready for everything. It don't matter what it looks like. And so I want to commend you, but I want to talk a little bit about the last Sunday that I was in church. Brian, I don't know if you were there. Brian preached a message called Back to Normal. Great message, great word. And I was sitting on the front row, and the Lord said, this is the statement he made to me. He said, new or norm, what do you want? And I just got my phone out and put a heading, new norm. Never put any scriptures, never put nothing, and just kind of interesting thought, Lord. And over 3 weeks, the Lord has kind of helped me digest this process of what we're stepping into. And this is the type of thing that will challenge your religion. It will. It will challenge you, you know. I told the Lord, I said, what am I going to do Sunday? He said, rest. Isn't that interesting? Sunday's a day of what? Yeah, so it's okay. You know, we move. We'll give you lots of options to be in church. I just want you to know that you're going to have challenges in the process of walking this out. And I believe the church as a whole is coming into something that's so amazing, that's absolutely incredible. So the Lord began to deal with me about this concept of new. And the Lord said, this year is going to be a year of newness. And he said, Jamie, you get to choose where you want to live. You can live in the normal. I'll define that for you in a few moments. Or you can live in the new thing that God has challenged us to do. And so there's a couple things I want to talk about before I talk a little bit about that. The first thing I want to talk about is that God in his nature, listen to this, is always creative. He's into newness. You need to know that. And so sometimes we look at God and we get content with, we think we kind of arrive. But if you look at the declarations about who Jesus was, the Word, he's the seed, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He's all these things that represent something that produces something and keeps producing something. He said his word, the Bible says his word will not return void. In other words, his word is always operating. Every time you begin to declare the word, even though at that moment you may not feel it, the moment you speak it, at that instant that word becomes creative. It's almost like let there be. And whatever promise that is, he says, I am that I am. I preached on it years ago. That original translation is, I am that that I am. So here's what he's saying. Whatever you need, that's what I am. I am that. If you need healing, I'm that. If you need increase, I'm that. If you need protection, I'm that. If you need joy, I'm that. If you need peace, I'm that. I am that. That's what I am. So his very expression of who he is creative. And there's always something new waiting for us next. And I was just sitting reading, and the Lord said, you know, he said, Jamie, you're always in a season. And the season that you're in always has a harvest connected to it. The problem with us is many times we see our harvest as the same old harvest over and over and over and over and over again. But when we really start tuning into the Holy Spirit and we start connecting to him guiding in us to different levels of truth, different levels of experience to show us things to come, when we start joining with that revelation, we start coming obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. We start to step into that newness of whatever that season. He doesn't define what you're getting. When he said, greater things than these shall ye do, he doesn't define what that looks like. Because new means something you've never experienced before. Now listen. New is not something going from a revelation to a little deeper revelation. That's what we define new as. New is something that didn't exist and now it does. Something you knew nothing about and all of a sudden now you know. It would be like the person that didn't believe in healings but got invited to a church one night and just so happened to get prayed for and got instantly healed. At that moment, new for him is something that he never even really thought existed, but at that moment, it existed for him. So here's what the Lord, he began to speak to me about. He said, Jamie, the thing that I'm taking the church into right now is new. Romans 4, verse 17, he says, he calls into being things that don't even exist. Think about that. How much truth is there we've not tapped into yet? How many encounters have we not tapped into yet? How many experiences with presence have we not tapped into? And I wonder sometimes if it's because we've come accustomed to the normal. I mean, just even change it. I mean, for me and Darlene, this transition may look like a super hard transition. It's not, because we know that's the call of God on our life. But for some of us, just this simple transition throws us so out of balance. Y'all look, I can see your face now. You're in trouble. So you're in a different chair, in a different place, in a different building. When you go out of here, you probably got to look for the bathroom. You're kind of in a different world. Many of you probably never been in this building in your life, so this building is literally new. And new is okay. You know the disciples had to be constantly walking with a discovery of God that they just began to blow their minds and opened up their minds to a degree that was so amazing. So I want you to catch this. He says he calls into being things that don't even exist. Any part of you he intends you to walk in, that he's created you to walk in, I believe this is a season where he's calling that into existence right now. I believe there's an invitation for us, not because I'm senior pastor, for us as a whole, there's an invitation to step into something that we've never seen before, or in our mind, in our perspective, in our visual, in our thinking, that's really never been existent before, but it's going to be. And we're going to start to be shaped into what God has intended us to be. You're going to hear the word be. I'm not speaking on love tonight, but I'm going to talk about be. Who you be. Who we be. We be believers. We be supernatural. We be prosperous. We be healthy. We be whole. Right? We be love. He's calling us into this place of being. And there's stuff that he's reserved. This is what he told me. He said, Jamie, there is stuff that you know nothing about that I have reserved for you and these people for this moment. that we've never tapped into. And I don't know. I remember when I first came to Covenant, Friday Night Fire, we got into some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, we looked Pentecostal almost. Got pretty radical. I said, Lord, how can it be that you're moving us into something that we're going to be, we've never been before? Here's what he said. He said, because my nature is always creative. I can't speak and not create. I can't breathe and not create. I can't show up and something not happen that's never happened before. It's my nature to function that way, to move that way. He's creative. So, normal or new? It's time for the new. Now, I want to start with just a couple of scriptures. I want to give you a couple of scriptures here. And I love these verses. I'll start off with a real simple part of Revelations 21 and 5. I've learned this. I find how, one of the things that the Lord's been doing in me is how I define a scripture in a little level of truth about a box this big. So, you know what the scripture says? Behold, I make. Now, we see this scripture as Revelations as a new heaven and a new earth, and it is. But it's interesting he doesn't say, behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. Because the impact of who I am when I'm on the scene is all things get affected. All things become new. This is not just an end time verse. This is a present active verse. This is a revelation that John got on the Isle of Patmos. When he was carried away in the spirit, one of the revelations he got about the Father was his creative ability, that when he shows up, everything gets affected. Newness is what he does. Creativity is what he does. This is Hebrews 12:24, the Passion Translation. And we have come to Jesus, who's established a new covenant with his blood. We talk about new covenant. And we focus on things like grace and all the good stuff and probably the high priority stuff. But there's so much that we're not experiencing in this new covenant that Jesus said, it's imperative that I go away so he can come. Why? So he can guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Things we've never experienced. Truth we've never encountered. So this is a revelation of truth. He says, this new covenant sprinkled with upon the mercy suit, the blood that continues to speak from heaven. He's not stopped speaking. He's not stopped declaring. I don't know if they're writing a new Bible in heaven. We'll have it when we get there. I don't know what that looks like. But I know he is still declaring. He's still speaking. He's still standing before the throne, intercessing for us, the saints, and saying, no, Lord, Father, this is who they are. This is who they're called to be. He said, speak from heaven, forgiveness, a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice. Okay, to make things new, in order for things to be new, we have to decide whether or not we're going to stay in a present condition or state of truth. I want you to catch this. And I'm not saying that the gospel message is changing in any way, that the biblical truth that you have is changing. I'm just telling you, sometimes you have to move out of the weak truth you have to discover. You know, the thing about religion is, religion tries to keep you trapped to what you think you know. It does. It keeps you trapped from growing. It stunts your maturity because you've convinced yourself that you've already got the fullness of a revelation of a truth that God says, you really think that you fully understand me? Who I am in nature, who I am in person? So Isaiah 48 and 6 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, you have heard what I foretold and have seen it all unfold. So admit that it will happen and I was right. Watch this. From now on, I will tell you about new things never seen before, hidden things, well-guarded secrets that you know nothing about. There's about to be an unfolding like we've never saw before. Revelation 21, behold, I make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever is a believer of Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. I was reading this verse about 4 days ago, and the Lord said, what does that one phrase look like for you? I said, well, Lord, I don't do drugs anymore. As much. Just joking with you. Started smoking. No, I'm just joking. I know you've all been a lot of under stress because of COVID and election and... I said, what do you mean? He said, you think this verse is just a reference to who you were. I want you to really feel if how you were living 6 months ago, the old way of living has changed. Has there been a transition? A new way of living has come into existence. Where are you living where you're not really living? If you're living with fear, that area of fear in your life, you're not really living. Because he's not giving you a spirit of fear. It's not from him. If you're living in lack, you're not living with this new revelation of giving. He made extreme statements to us. If you want to live, you got to die. If you want to get, you got to give. I mean, all these really intense statements to us because he's constantly trying to pull us into a new dimension of who he is and who he is for us and who we are in him and what that looks like. So a lot of times it's not the battles that hinder us from the new, it's us that hinders us from the new because we have a preconceived idea of what God looks like, how he moves, what he does. And you can have an idea. God does give us truth about tithe. God does give us truth about prayer. But to settle for that, you get trapped in the norm. And it actually stunts your maturity and your identity as a believer. The Lord said, will you be open to the new? Are you willing to surrender to the new? The Living Bible says this, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Not the same anymore. Now listen to this. A new life has, what does it say? Begun. This is the process of transition. And when we settle for commonplace, we can develop for just being in a normal place. And it affects our walk in a serious way. And so this is one of the statements the Lord gave me. He said, what you tolerate will dominate. Whatever you're tolerating in your life does not line up and define who God says you are, who you're created to be, what the covenant he has for you looks like. When you do that, all of a sudden what happens to you is you begin to allow that mentality, that image, begins to dominate you. It shuts down your maturity and your growth. It shuts down the fullness of your identity. Well, you can walk in partial identity. You can walk with a level of experience. That's why you have to make in this season we're coming into, in this year, and I'm not just, it's got nothing to do political. It doesn't, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. No matter what happens politically, I know what we want to happen. No matter what happens politically, the church is going to be the church. The bride is going to be the bride. The enemy, that's not going to give him the upper hand. He's never had the upper hand. We were not created to tolerate. We were created to dominate the enemy and not just live and contend, but destroy the works of the enemy over regions, over cities, over towns, over communities. That's our calling. And the only way we can do that is if we embrace what doesn't look like what we think it should look like. Right? And if we let, and we tolerate stuff in our life, it'll dominate our focus. It'll dominate our hunger. It'll dominate our mindset. It'll dominate our maturity level. It'll dominate all these areas of our lives. I was taken, you know, we do funerals as pastors. One of the famous chapters we read, if you've ever done a funeral and you've ever done a graveside, the number one most favorite chapter in the entire Bible for graveside committals is Psalm 23. And I was reading, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Psalm 23. I said, Lord, I'm not preaching on Psalm 23. It's a psalm about death. The Lord said, no, it's not. It's a psalm about maturity. It's a maturity psalm. Now, I'll just start off with just the very first line. And I want you to catch this. David starts Psalm 23, verse 1 off with this statement. You catch it now. The Lord is. Did you catch it? I don't know. Some of you got it. The Lord is. Here's what David's saying. I'm about to step into a revelation of who the Lord is. I'm about to move to a different level of maturity of who the Lord is. I'm about to walk into a level of the Lord revealing who he is for me that I've never known before. And so this psalm is actually about David getting this incredible revelation about who he is. Verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I read this at funerals. I will feel no evil. It's interesting, when I started looking it up in the Hebrew, this valley of death doesn't even mean physical death. Is that not interesting? In my little box, I was raised that Psalm 23 is the psalm you read when you're putting somebody in the ground. It's the death psalm. Listen, when I die, I ain't going through no valleys. I'm going straight to heaven. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. I mean, I'm gone. There ain't no more valleys for me. I'm walking through enough valleys here. And so the Lord said, this is not a death psalm. This is a revelation that David got through a certain type of valley. And it's called a valley of the shadow of something because David, have you ever looked at somebody through the shadow or through a fog? Where I come from, I grew up on the coast. You talk of foggy. I remember one night I was walking home. I was kind of feeling good. And it was so foggy. It was that joy, but a different joy than the one Will was talking about. It was so foggy that I actually walked into a telephone pole and broke my nose. Now, that's some serious fog, right? Even birds were running into wires and dying. I mean, people just stay in there. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Fog. No? It's an old horror movie. It's terrifying. It's double terrifying when you're stoned. Anyway. So this shadow, here's what he's saying. This shadow of this valley of death, I was walking through this moment where I couldn't clearly see who I was and who God was for me. And here's what the Lord said to me. The church has been in the shadow, but she's coming out. We're coming into a time where we're going to be able to declare the Lord is. But listen, we still have to choose it. We still have to connect to what's new. And sometimes when we walk through things in life, It's in those places that we have new discoveries. How many of you have gone through something this year that's been really challenging? Right? Now listen to this. Any valley you ever walk through that you don't mature in is a wasted journey. You hear me? If you've walked through valleys this year and it's not enlarged your concept of the Lord is, it's been a wasted valley. And here's what's going to happen. Whatever was intended to develop in you in that valley will be in the fog. It won't be visible. The anointing in that level of your life will be weak. Let me just say this. This was David's choice. David knew he was going through a valley. There's all kinds of different concepts about what David was happening, if he was in a state of discouragement. I believe David, before he even entered the valley, he knew. He realized this is who the Lord is. He's not saying, I'm walking through a valley of the shadow of death and it stinks and I'm miserable. He says, though I walk. He's got a revelation that he's walking in that is so amazing of new discoveries. So valleys can reveal how much fear you have, how much trust you have. Valleys can cause you to experience what level of a giver you are, what level of a taker you are. Valleys can be a revelation of the faithfulness of God, plainly and very just quickly. It can take you to a place of deeper faith. Valleys a lot of times have to do with our own identity. Like, I know you're in a valley. Me and my wife are in our own valley in this journey, leaving a church, you know, stepping into a whole new thing. You invest in something 20 years and you move into something else. It's kind of like, okay, Lord, we're going to go through this valley, but even though we're going to go through this valley, we're going to trust you. So what if nobody wants to go through the valley with you? I don't know what to tell you, Lord. The best revelation you can have in the season we're coming into is who the Lord is for you. That's the beginning place. And some of us have gone through some serious valleys. David finally gets the father's concept of what a shepherd looks like. You know, we think a shepherd is somebody that watches over sheep. Shepherd in the Hebrew means to be a friend. It means to be friend. It means friendship. But listen, it also means to rule. It means to make. It means to keep. It means to walk with. That's what the word shepherd means. We're now in a new discovery place where God's saying, I really want to reveal who I really am to you. I want to show you different aspects of me. So you can finally start walking in as he is, so are we in the world, according to 1 John 4:7. In order for that to happen, we're going to have to embrace some stuff. In order to walk with a rod and a staff, it's going to take a commitment. When we go into valleys, we're supposed to come out the other side of the valley totally different. And the rod and the staff are two interesting tools that David, the rod is primarily about us. The rod speaks to us. It represents our ruling, our correction, our walking. The rod has to do with our personal revelation of God. The staff represents support, protector, rest, sustenance. It means the support of. It means being supplied. It means who we are for one another. So God's pulling the church. He's pulling his people into a place of personal discovery, of corporate discovery that's new than we've ever seen before. Where we stop constantly trying to discover who we are and just actually start walking it out. Once again, I've said this year for years now, I think the greatest sin in the church is sermon listening. David doesn't discover his identity. He's discovering his purpose now. David's name, I guess, I don't know why he took me to Psalm 23. I guess because the church is beloved. David's name means love token. Means love. Means friend. And he's not now just living, or he's not now just trying to discover his identity in Psalm 23. He's actually walking it out. And let me tell you one of the sneaky things about the spirit of religion. We see a whole, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, we see David. He shows up on the battlefield. He's got some cheese and crackers and stuff for his boys. And he shows up on the battlefield, and it's not, listen to this, it's not the enemies that taunting him. It's his actually brothers. Now listen to this. This is something the Lord told me. He said, let me tell you this. Your greatest challenge is not going to come from the world. It's going to come from the church. I said, what? He said, the world don't know what to say about you because you're just crazy to them. So here's the lie. Here's the lie that we can, in a religious setting, and I love the bride. I'm not talking negative about the bride. But there can be a religious bride. One of his brothers began to challenge his heart. And here's what he said to him. Oh, you came out to see the battle. The truth was there was no battle. Everybody was hiding. Everybody's behind rocks and sticks and stubs. Nobody's doing anything. And the Lord said, this is what happens when we settle for the norm. When we settle for the norm, we actually convince ourselves that we're engaging, and that we're fighting the battle on the behalf of the Father, and that we're living out who we are and our identity and our power and the influence and the anointing that we carry. But the reality is that the devil's led you into this dupe, this mislie, that you're actually engaged in what I'm wanting to do, but you're living in the norm, not the new. I had to send a David. I'm looking for somebody that will pull up to the front lines and say, hey, Father, I know now I'm a giant slayer. I've gone through some valleys. I've experienced some stuff. You've raised me up. I'm a king. He all of a sudden start to begin to walk out who he was. And this is a time for us as God's people in this season not to shred back, oh no, what's going to happen now? The election's gone this way, this has gone that way, this has gone that way. God said, stop contending for something that you actually have power over with your words and your declarations and your prayers and your decisions and your choices. It's a new season. The shadow here represents hovering over, beginning to be dark. It represents to be in the shade. It means a vain show. It means a vain show. In other words, you've heard me talk about don't take the Lord's name in vain. I know we make that a cuss word. It's an identity word. It's to take somebody's name and walk it out vainly. It's like to have a father that's a multi-billionaire and you to live on the street like a pauper. You've got a name, but your name has been taken. You've taken that name in vain. The Lord said, what if I called you in this season to live up to my name? I was joking with the staff. I said, Saul got one. Abram got one. I said, from now on, call me Moses. It was a joke, by the way. Don't call me Moses. But the Lord said, what if I'm calling you to new things, Jamie? And it's going to shift your identity. You're actually going to start to look like a son. Where we're going to start living like daughters. See, a valley without, once again, a discover our new identity is a wasted journey. David had this revelation. I love it. He said, is there no cause? Now listen, I'm going to share this, and I'm going to share one more thing, and then we're going to pray. He said, is there no cause? That word cause means purpose. It means vision. It means challenge. But listen to this. You know that word in the Hebrew, the root word for the word cause is vengeance. So David's not just saying, hey, don't you guys get it that we are overcomers? That we are not meant to be slaves? That we can kill giants? That we can do this? Here's what David's saying. Not only will we overcome the enemy, we get payback. I don't know, it excited me when he told me. I was kind of, how many of y'all had somebody do something bad to you and you want it payback? It's all right, you can't lie in church, it's okay. We've all done it. At some point, come on y'all. You've been mad at a family member, you've been mad at a preacher, you've been mad at somebody at some point, and in your heart you told everybody, God bless them, but in your heart you're saying, Lord, just give them something bad. Let all their cars break down. Don't burn their house down, but burn their shed down. The Lord said, how good is it that when you discover purpose connected to identity, everything the enemy has taken from you and more, he has to bring back. How humbling is that? I took this a couple years ago. This big angel that's got me by the scruff of the neck said, I've got to give it back today. The Lord said, you're not just going to take back what you think you've lost. You're going to start taking what you've never had. That's what vengeance is. Vengeance is I just don't get to defeat you. I get to tap into something I've never been able to get before and say, oh, that's mine too. Oh, you can't have that either. Oh, I know you think you're getting that. That may be ground you think you're getting, but I'm taking that ground, and that ground is going to be mine. This is a year where you get to stand for your children and your husbands and your wives and your relatives, and you start declaring when you walk in identity, this is a new season. There's a new sheriff in town. He means business. And I just want you to know that I'm starting to take back. Doesn't matter what 2020, 19, 2020 looks like. This is a new season we're coming in. I'm stepping into a new identity. It's who I am. It's time. We're co-laborers. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, I've given you all things. I said, that's awesome. He said, you know why I've given you all things? Because you're nice. He said, no, I've given you all things because you're going to need all things to be who you need to be. All things. I was just reading. The Lord said, I want you to go over to, I want you to go over and I want you to look at the story in John 11:34. And it's the story of Mary. Lazarus has died. And she comes out to Jesus. And she says to Jesus, if only you'd have been here. And I've preached on this so many times, but I've never seen this before. I've never thought about the first few words that Jesus said to Mary. And here, do you all remember what he said? Okay, it's all right. He said this, take me where he's laid. I said, that's awesome, Lord, but I don't have a clue what you're talking about right now. Just, I know he's dead. He's in a grave. I grew up in the funeral business. It's pretty dim. He said, no, it's not true. He said, you've buried some things that I want to resurrect. A lot of us that have gone through valleys, instead of coming out differently, the valley has affected us in such a way that there's been things that have buried in the valleys that God's saying, I want to resurrect that. You didn't even have a chance to live in that. I'll give you an example. There's been times in my own life, as not as a pastor, just as a believer, period, while pastoring, where I felt like I've had the gun with no bullets. Then there's been times when I felt like I had a handful of bullets, but no gun. That's what I felt like. I felt like I'm pointing at, you better stay away, I've got a bullet here. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. If I had a gun to pull this in, I'd shoot you right now. Where it's like I'm waving a gun around going, I know I ain't got no bullets, but this gun looks bad, don't it? It's plastic, by the way. The God said, listen, there's some things I want to resurrect that's going to arm you. See, the terrible thing about normal is when we think we're doing normal life, we crave so much for the normal that it robs us for a hunger of the new. It really does. Right, let me tell you what normal, let me define normal for you. Normal can get to the place where it's like having a truck that has 8 cylinders and you're only running on 4. And you've convinced yourself that that's okay because at least you're running. At least you can get from one place to another. Well, it's just a matter of time before your vehicle suffers. So here's what happens to us. We tolerate fear. We tolerate worry. We tolerate stress. We tolerate all these different emotional scars. And we think, this is just normal. Everybody has a terrible marriage. It's not true. It's a lie. It's not true. There's so much stuff that we just give into that it just robs us, and we run on 4 cylinders until before you know it, now we're on 2 cylinders, and now we're on 1 cylinder, and we've convinced ourselves that that's just the way it is, and it's not. God's intended for you to be this healthy, vibrant engine. I don't mind developing self. But I think you can work so much on developing self so much that that becomes the normal way you live. And really what happens to you in that state is you never truly qualify for anything. You just exist. But you're not being. In Him we live, we move. We have our being. You know what the word being is in the Greek? Ready? Because it's not what you think. The word being in the Greek is the gospel. In Him you live, you move, and you are the gospel. When you're moving and living in Him, that's when you become to be as He is in the world, so are. Right? The thing about what we're stepping into is there's a choice connected to it. So I want you to stand for a moment. You okay? This word laid in the Greek, it's very interesting because when I look this word up in the Greek, this word laid, listen to this, this word laid, listen to the Greek. I love the original text language of this. The word laid means passive posture. Let me say it again. The word laid means passive posture. What's your posture spiritually? It means to sink down, and it means this. It means to be set in our ways. Think about that. me and Darlene, we're always telling each other, yeah, this is the whole journey for the last probably 7 years has been, oh my gosh, we're so religious. We always get back to the Lord will show us something and we're like, oh my gosh, we're so religious. I was going to sit in a stool, but I don't know if I could see you. But we're so religious. Every time the Lord takes us into something, it's like he takes this other piece of us and say, oh, I love that. I love that you had that then and that was great, but you can't take that where you're going. Who wants to be 28 with the mind of a 13-year-old? My favorite part of the story is Jesus makes this statement. It's very simple. I love that he doesn't do long-term prayers. He just says, come forth. And the Lord said, that's what I'm calling the people to. David came forth. He went through some valleys, but he came forth. Totally different than who he was before. How many of y'all know Lazarus was a little different? I'll tell you right now, you're in the hot tomb wrapped in loincloth or whatever it was for 3 days, dead. It can be intense. I don't like even being in a small room. Think about it. It said, come forth. That word come forth, listen to this, means completion. How do you think Lazarus would have felt if Jesus, the last time he was with him before this time, said, hey, Lazarus, I just want to give you a heads up. You're going to die. But it's okay. They're going to put you in some spice, wrap you up like a mummy. Then they're going to move you to this dark room. They're going to roll this stone in front of it. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be a totally different person. I wonder sometimes some of the challenges people had in the Bible if the Lord said, hey, if I do this, this is what will happen. You willing to do this? I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm in right now. I don't know if I'm all in for that transition or that experience right now. Noah had to have ideas. Moses had to have ideas. Abraham had to have ideas. David had to in the caves. Elijah had a victory and then the next day was running from false prophets, from Jezebel. We all have our valleys. But this is an identity shift moment for us, for you. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, it's time to come forth. What haven't you experienced? Now listen to this. I want you to say this. New means non-existent before. Because here's how we function. I've never seen angels. I'd love to see angels. Great. I've never seen a person ever get out of a wheelchair or out of a casket. I'd love to see that. That's great, Lord. I want to see that. That's cool. I've been blessed to be a part of something like that. But the Lord said, listen, when are you going to start asking me for something that you've never seen anybody experience? I said, yeah, but Lord, then I don't have a comparison. Because if I have something to look at, it makes me comfortable. Listen, demonic deliverance sounds great till you watch it on YouTube. Hey, when you have something to compare something with, it's either really easy or it's really extreme. The Lord said, well, let me get rid of that. I said, how are you going to get rid of that? He said, ask for something you think nobody experienced, where there's no grid. Have you got something yet? Or is that far beyond your mind? You've been so longing just to contend what other people's are experiencing that you've never said, Lord, what do you have for me? Like, you can live off my word, But you never really, really, truly start to live until you start to live off your word that he gives to you. My word that he gives to me as a pastor helps sustain, helps motivate, helps you in the journey. It's kind of like, oh, let me give you some water at this point of the journey. Let me give you some bread and bacon and eggs at this point of the journey. Hey, let's cook a steak right here. But when you start getting your word from him, it's a totally different level of maturity. See, we want to live off everybody else's revelation and encounter. We want to sit and bask in their pursuit. And to be new, it doesn't work like that. You can blame all you want, anybody. You can blame the economy. You can blame the government. You can blame this happened in my family. That happened in this. This happened in my whatever. You can blame whatever you want. There's no excuse. You just have to choose. This is going to be, listen, I've already warned the pastor. He's a great Baptist pastor, friend of mine, Brother Henry. I said, what are you going to do Sunday morning when people start falling out in the spirit and speaking in tongues in your service? You kind of got a half laugh, half worried look on his face. I said, you need help dissecting that. I'm here. But I will tell you this. Me and Darlene are not in a pursuit for a big church. We're in a pursuit of the raw presence of God. And I'll be honest for you, I've been asking for stuff that none of us have seen. And my prayer is it doesn't freak you out. And I believe when he shows up, you're going to know it's him. You're not going to have to second. In your spirit, you're going to say, oh, this is him. Why? Because you're going to feel the overwhelming love and mercy and goodness and kindness and grace of God in everything he does for us. But I want presence. I told the Lord, I choose the new, not the norm. I don't care what it looks like. I used to complain to the Lord, Lord, I'd love to sleep in. Can you just not get me up at such and such a time? I'd like to have a normal sleep pattern. And now that I've had a little bit of a normal sleep pattern, it's like, I hate this pattern. This pattern sucks. Now I'm back to Lord, no matter what it looks like, no matter when, no matter where, no matter who. He said, 2020, I need you all in. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you feel like, I don't know about new now. I'm kind of old. No, I'm not. I don't care if I have to sit down here in this front pew and watch these young guys do what they've got to do. I don't care where it's going to be. I'm going to be in the river. I'm getting as deep as I can in it. And I want to challenge you tonight. We're going to do something. At the end of the rows, you'll see some communion buckets. I feel like Schaumbach, Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. At the end, if you know Schaumbach is, you'll know what that means. We're going to have communion. Thank you, Leslie. And I want to encourage you. This will not be one of those, when we get together Thursday night, we're always going to have a lot of stuff going on. I promise you, right now we're just kind of giving you as much information as we can so we can get through this thing and walk through this thing together. But we really are going to be committing our Thursday nights to presence. We really are. And listen, we're not, if you've got kids and you come Thursday night and you have to leave early, we will never shame you. I promise you, there's no shame here. Life is life. And if you've got to work or if you have to come late, that's fine. There's no shame. This is what God's made available to us right now. And this is just a season. Y'all hear me? It's a season. It's going to be a fun season, but it's a season. Okay? But I want to challenge you. Just close your eyes. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you have to surrender that you can't take in this new season. What is it I have to give to you, Holy Spirit? Some of you are going to have to let go of your offenses, your anger at God, your questions. Some of you have got questions for God that you're just going to have to let go of. Some of you are carrying some stuff you were never meant to carry. It's been so heavy on you. It's been stressful. It's weighed you down. It's robbed you of your joy and your peace. Get rid of that stuff. It'll keep you from moving forward. Holy Spirit, search our hearts right now. We just ask you to reveal what it is you want us to release to you tonight as we step into what you have for us. It may be unfamiliar. It may be never experienced before. It's something new that's recently come into existence in our life. But Father, you said greater things than these shall we do. God, we're saying yes to that. Remove the limitations off our mind. Our hearts. We're going to be open to the Holy Spirit. We're not just going to discover who we are. We're going to activate it. We're going to live it out. We're going to walk it out. We're going to be it. So we release any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any regrets, any shame, any fear, any anxiety. Search us. That's what David's prayer. Search my heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your spirit to me. Return unto me the joy of your salvation, and I will teach transgressors your way. That was his prayer. What an amazing prayer. You know, when the disciples had broke bread together the last time, Jesus is walking them through the process. I want you to see what he's doing. He's walking them into a continual process that will always remind them of the covenant God who they were in relationship with. It wasn't, oh, just remember the horrible death I went through. It wasn't about that. It was, remember what I've purchased for you through that. It was about covenant. It was a blood covenant. It was about the covenant. The blood had to be shed, but the primary focus was the covenant, was the healing, was the deliverance. By his stripes you're healed. Because he took a worldly crown, you and I have been given a heavenly crown. Because he was rent of royal robes, he's given us. We're the prodigals. We've been given the robe and the sandals and the ring. It's been restored. And God said, every time you take communion, remember what I've done for you, what I've purchased for you. So if you need healing physically right now, hold that bread up. Just like that. Hold it up. I want you to break it in your fingers. This is Christ's body. Broken for you, for healing mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, Christ's body broken for you. After the same manner, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, he took the cup. We know the blood represents the death. It represents the covenant of God. He's got this covenant relationship. It's a new and better covenant. So as we raise this, here's our prayer. Father, we raise this cup that we'll go into deeper revelations of what that covenant looks like for us. That there'll be a manifestation in our lives of what covenant looks like. Not just knowledge. Father, I don't want knowledge. I want knowledge with experience. I want revelation. Let there be a revelation that comes on the body that we are covenant people. And we have all the blessings of Abraham and then some on us. This is Christ's blood shed for you, a new covenant.